Lansdowne again, and I appreciate very much the invitation to share it with you. I'd like us to turn this morning to the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55, a very, very refreshing and lovely part of the Word of God. We'll read this together from the New King James Version. Isaiah chapter 55. O everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know. Nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will have pardon. But my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, the water of the earth, make it bring forth as bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall bring forth into singing, shall break forth into singing before you. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign. It shall not be cut off. So we look to the Lord again. Our Father and our God, we thank you for allowing us to read these words of yours that you have given to us. What a refreshment they are to us. We pray, Father, that as we gather together this morning and spend a few minutes in your word, that you will give us a receptivity to your word, that we may have minds and spirits that are prepared to take in that word. And our God, we pray by your Holy Spirit that you will do a work in our hearts this morning. Many of us here this morning know and love your beloved Son. We pray that as we review the words of this chapter, we may be drawn closer to Him and He may become more precious to us. But we are very conscious there may also be among us those who know not our Lord Jesus Christ. And for such a one or such that may be here with us, we pray that their ears too may be open to listen, that their hearts and their souls may be hungry and thirsty for the bread and the water of life. And as we sound forth this gracious gospel, that such a one will be refreshed and blessed and receive the wonderful gift that you have provided. We pray for me, our Father, that you will give me faithfulness in proclaiming your word. I may speak only that which is in accordance with your perfect will. That anything I say that may be difficult or unclear or even unfaithful to your word will cause us to forget, that we may indeed be refreshed by that which is truly your mind. So we commend this time to you this morning and pray for blessing upon him who speaks and those who listen in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. This lovely poem, I guess we could call it, lovely call in this book of Isaiah, "Ho, everyone that thirsts. Call to the thirsty and hungry." You know, there should be a response. In this particular day, we'll call like that. Because this world is just full of hungry, thirsty people. There may be somebody here this morning. Maybe you've come in very, very hungry, very thirsty. Not for physical food and drink. In this country where we have so much, there are very, very few people indeed who are physically hungry and physically thirsty. But indeed there is a thirst about. I was thinking of what Isaiah wrote in an earlier chapter in chapter 41, in verse 17. "When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongues fail for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake." I thought of that 42nd Psalm too. "As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God." And I think too of the Lord's word in the 7th of John. I'd like to read that to you. That's a precious scripture. John chapter 7, verse 37. "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." So I have no doubt that I have some thirsty people listening to me this morning. What a joy it is to tell you that there is that which can satisfy your thirst. Not your thirst for physical water or drink, or your hunger for food, but your thirst for that which will truly satisfy your soul. I was thinking of a scripture in the little book of Amos. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. I'd like to read that to you because it seems to be very appropriate to this theme of thirst and hunger. Behold, the days are coming. When I read this verse, I think you will agree with me that those days are here. The days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You know, as you pick up your newspaper or the magazine of the day, or you turn on your television or your radio, you don't hear very much. It would satisfy a hungry, thirsty soul. There is much that appeals to the flesh. There is much that pretends to satisfy, but it really doesn't. It seems to be so appealing when you see it and hear it. When you lay your head down on your pillow at night and you think about it, you realize how empty and vacuous it really is. We live in a day of famine, people. I really believe that. There's a famine in the land. It's not a famine of bread, as Amos says. No lack of food, at least in this country. Some countries of the world, like Burundi, are really suffering for want of food. But that's not our problem. We have a deeper hunger than for simply physical food. We have a deeper thirst simply to satisfy parched lips these hot days of summer. We have a deep soul thirst, a deep soul hunger. Don't you think so? I want you to look deep within your soul and heart this morning. I want you to be honest before the Lord. Don't you feel the emptiness? Don't you feel the lack of satisfaction from all that purports to bring satisfaction for you? In the second verse, he says another thing that would appeal to those of us in this day, Isaiah 55:2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? Most of us have plenty of money. More than we need. We're not really hungry for bread. We have money, but we spend it on that which is not really satisfying. We take our wages and we spend it. We go here and there and we do this and we do that. And we turn unsatisfied. And the prophet says, listen diligently to me. Eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in fatness. What is he talking about? He's talking about what can be purchased without money. We say today, you get what you pay for. We say today, there is no such thing as a free lunch. But in this case, something that is free, what's free is most valuable indeed. Not cheap. The same prophet and a couple of pages before had suggested the cost to God to provide this food, this drink that will satisfy the soul. I'm thinking of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. I'm thinking of where he writes. Verse 5, he was wounded. Who was wounded? The Lord Jesus. The Son of God was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we lack, Jesus, born strength. The Lord has, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he. The prophet can see one who was to come many, many hundreds of years later, after he wrote, the blessed Son of God, who would die for the sins of the people. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the reason, my dear friend, for your hunger and your thirst. You don't have that. You don't have that one who said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You don't have that one who cried out on that day, that great day of the feast. Oh, everyone. It isn't a question of our not having to pay for it. We can't pay anything. We absolutely, in this area, we are bankrupt. We have plenty of money to buy food and drink physically. When it comes to true satisfaction, isn't it true that we there's nothing we can pay for that? That's not available with the currency that we know. There's a different kind of a currency that we need to pay for this food and drink. We can't pay for it with our wallets or our food. He says, incline your ear and come to me, hear in your soul. Tell me you must listen. Listen not just with your ears, but as it were with the ears of your heart. Listen to a God of grace and mercy who has exactly what you need to satisfy your soul's hunger and thirst. Be careful that today's noise does not drown out the message. You know, sometimes I'm driving along the highway and I get behind somebody who is also driving. He's jumping up and down like this. And I know what's on his car radio. And I know the noise, the absolute noise. It will drown out anything else. It isn't only rock music. There's a lot of things in this world that will drown out the message of God's grace. You must have ears to hear and be willing to listen to that still small voice of God's grace. It will not yell at you. Oh, my friends, this morning, how thankful I am that with all the energy I have, I can offer you this on God's behalf. It's wonderful, friend. But you've got to be prepared to listen. You got to be prepared to turn a deaf ear to the noise that's all around. Blessed is he who has ears to hear, that he might hear. We all have, most of us have ears to hear physically. But the ears of our heart, so to speak, that are needed to take in this message, sometimes are very dull of hearing. Then verses 3 to 5, he has a message for backslidden Israel about a divine covenant. A covenant that God had made with him many years before, and a covenant that he would fulfill. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. But you know, he has a message for us today. Come. He has a message for those of us who are hungry and thirsty. A message of grace. A message of salvation. If only we will listen to it. And a promise. All we need to do is put our trust in that one who is led as a lamb to the slaughter, we heard. This one who, when we had gone astray, was led to the cross to pay the awful price for our redemption. What a tremendous message this is, and a promise. All you need to do is put your trust in him. In fact, your utter bankruptcy is in this currency, not in money, but in the kind of currency that allows you to listen and respond to a message like this. Then he says in verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. This is the day of salvation. This is the day when God is calling men to receive his beloved. That call will not always go forth, but it is going forth today. Will you call upon him? The source of satisfaction is not far away or hard to find. All you need to do is call upon him, and he will hear. He is near. But there is a price. I say it's free. It's free in that there's no money to be paid for it. But there is something to be paid in a different kind of currency entirely. He says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You know, there is a need for those who will take this offer of salvation to repent. You know, I don't know that repentance is a very frequently preached message in our day. I can think of no message that's more important for us to hear and heed. Indeed, I've got to take the place of the wicked. I don't like to do that. Because I look around me and I see so many people who are worse than I am. And I don't understand how I have to confess that I am wicked and have to forsake a wife when I see so many others that are worse than I am. unrighteous thoughts. Yes, I have some unrighteous thoughts. But look at all the rest. But before I can partake, before I can enjoy this refreshing water that's offered to the thirsty, before I can satisfy my soul with this food that God offers me, I've got to confess my complete and utter moral bankruptcy. The old theologians used to call the utter sinfulness of man. You don't like to think about this aspect. This is where I am. Where you are, my friend. If you'll forgive me for being so blunt. All we like to eat. That's going astray. And our thoughts are not righteous thoughts. And our deeds, many of them are wicked. We need to forsake these thoughts. First of all, we need to confess. This is where we are. Then we forsake that and seek the Lord. While he may be found. I wonder, my dear friend, this morning, if you have really faced up to your sin, to your moral bankruptcy, if you really need, to your need of a Savior. Once you do, let me tell you, there's a whole world of spiritual beauty and satisfaction waiting for you. Verse 8, God has something to tell. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not yours. Until I heard this, I thought my thoughts were pretty good. I thought my ways were reasonably satisfied. Here is God with a message for me. And when I received that message and responded to it, the joy and the satisfaction that filled my soul, I can hardly explain to you. My thoughts are not your thoughts. What are his thoughts, Lord? The thoughts of mercy and grace. You see, once I realized that I was wicked in my thoughts and in my deeds, I expected that God, a God of holiness, would strike me down, like John Newton wrote in that hymn Amazing Grace, a sweet sound that saved a wretch like me. Another hymns are gone that have confronted, that speak of our being confronted with the utter incorrigibility of our soul. Romans 7, the apostle says, I found that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. When I saw that, I expected that there would be the wrath of God poured out upon me. Instead, I found that he loved me. I found that this one, this God that I had rebelled against was a God of love and mercy. And this overwhelmed me. And I think that's what the prophet means here when he speaks of my thoughts. Not being your thoughts and my ways, not your ways. All we can think of is retaliation. When people offend us, we are quite ready to strike back. But here's God, the God of the universe. And he tells me in his word how I have offended him. And instead of striking me down from my sin, he offers me mercy and strength. But there's humility needed. First of all, repentance to confess and to realize how far from God I have come. And now the humility that will receive these thoughts of goodness and mercy. Because you see, my natural inclination is I want to pay for it. Can I give you something, God, for this? No. It's free. You can't pay for it. Not only is it wonderful that it is free, but you can't even pay for it if you want to. You can't just turn around and clean up your life. You've got to confess. I've absolutely ruined it. The bottom of the heap, so to speak, morally. And then he reaches his strong arm out to lift me up. Oh, what grace. What mercy. But it takes humility, repentance and humility to receive it. And then the refreshment comes from his word. You see, I get all this from the word of God from this book that I'm reading from. And the prophet says, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth, makes it bring forth and bud, and they give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. You see, what I'm speaking of this afternoon, this morning, is the word of God. And it comes down to you and me with our parched soul. And they give us refreshment. We are so discouraged, and so broken by a sense of our sin and shame. And then as we turn away from ourselves, we see this mighty grace and mercy of God. It and just as the rain and the snow water the earth and cause it to bring forth fruit. So that word of God, the grace and the mercy of God, comes into my soul and produces fruit. So that now I'm not only broken down in repentance and sorrow, but having received the mercy of God, there's a new hope for me. And God is going to do a work in my soul, and he wants to do a work in your soul, my dear friend, this morning, if you're not saved. He wants to bring forth, as it were, flowers and fruit from your heart. So you see, he'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a new desire. A desire to live for him. In fact, he will place his Holy Spirit himself within you. You do not have this if you're outside of Christ this morning. You don't have this in your thoughts. And he will produce that. And that same heart that was so in rebellion against God, he will give you a new heart. A heart that will bring forth fruit for him. Isn't this more than, almost more than we can imagine? Maybe you've been looking for this every place else. Maybe you thought if you would clean up your life, if you would do this or you would do that, those things are not going to help. The way up, in this case, is down. The way up to God is to confess and to be before God my absolute nothingness, my rebellion against Him, and then to reach out the hand of faith and find out that there is the water of refreshment and the food of nourishment available to me as I simply put my trust in the Lord Jesus. And then there's joy, the joy that comes. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall bring forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign. It shall not be cut off. This might be have an application indeed to Israel, but I want to make a personal application of this to each part here this morning. You don't know really very much joy if you're without Christ, do you? But if you know something of turning from yourself to Him and receiving what He has to offer you, you'll go out with joy. You know, I tell the children, you know, joy is J-O-Y. Jesus on one end and you on the other, and nothing between that two. Happiness, oh, you may seek that in the world and you may find it. But happiness, you see, depends upon what happens. And if good things don't happen, there's no happiness. But joy. Joy is that which is deep in the soul. And you can enjoy, you can experience, even in times of great trial and difficulty. So he said, you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. Now you have peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't know very much about peace. You don't know very much about peace with the people you live with and work with. You may not know very much about peace with your boss at work. You may not know very much about peace even within yourself. And you certainly know nothing about peace. This you only find as you confess your utter and complete need and brokenness. And then he gives you that satisfying joy. Peace with God. I often think of the man went to the hospital to see the lady who was dying. And he looked down at her and he said, my dear lady, have you made your peace with God? And she looked up at him with the sweetest smile he had ever seen. But she stopped him by saying, "No, I have not made my peace with God." "Then how can you be so serene, my dear lady, if you have not made your peace?" "My peace with God," she said, "made 2,000 years ago in Jesus' name." You can't make your peace with God. I can. God made that peace at the cross. And I entered into it when I put my trust in the one who shed his blood for me. Peace with God. So I have now joy and peace. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. And then in this poetic language that only the Spirit of God can inscribe. "The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Oh, what a time. What an attitude that we can have. It seems as though all nature is bursting forth with the joy that we feel as at last we have come into this peace with God that God made for us on the cross. And all we needed to do to come into it was to put our trust and our faith in Him. And then there's fruit. To go back to what we read from the 7th of John. As the Lord on that great day of the feast called out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." What does he say? "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living." You see, now not only do I have peace with God myself, but I become the source of refreshment for others. And that can be your joy this morning. You can go out from this place if you've never trusted Christ. Go out from this building, sharing with others and saying to those you meet, "Oh, everyone that says, come to the water. Yea, come buy wine and milk, and without money and without." What a joy. What a joy can fill your soul this morning to take Christ as your Savior. May the Spirit of God use these few simple thoughts from His Word to jar any of us who may be perhaps resting in an insecure place to put their trust only in the Lord Jesus and to enjoy all that He has. May the Spirit of God take these altering words and use them to reach some heart and conscience this morning. For those of us who do know Him and love Him, that may make the salvation He has provided for us all the more precious and mean. So we look to God. Our Father and our God, we thank You for allowing us to look into Your Word this morning. We pray that You will take anything and everything that we've said this morning and apply it to our hearts. We thank You for Your gracious love and mercy, Your gracious invitation to any who thirsts and hungers. We pray, our God, that Your word goes forth, not only here, but in every place around the world today. There may be many who turn from their lives of hunger and thirst and take this wonderful water of life that you offer, this wonderful nourishment, and trust Christ as their Savior. We give you thanks, submitting your word to yourself in the Lord Jesus, worthy and precious.